Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, and welcome to the Right Way Ministry, sponsored by Kingdom Builders, Kingdom Daughters. My name is Reverend Sophia Johnson Park, and I am a minister of the gospel. So glad to have you today. We will be talking about the tabernacle, and there's so many items in the tabernacle. I was just didn't really know where to go today, but we're going to talk about the colors in the tabernacle. At least we're going to start talking about the colors in the tabernacle. Again, we're just glad to have you, that you will glean something from this as we talk about the tabernacle. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you once again, oh God, for your mercy and your compassion and your loving kindness. You are a God. You are a great God. You've given us your word so that what we want to know about you, we can read in the scriptures and find out about you. You've placed in your word in this tabernacle, oh God, the things that we need to know about Jesus. The tabernacle represents Jesus. And Lord, we thank you for that knowledge. And Lord, we pray that those that listen and here will gain an understanding, a greater understanding of who Jesus is, who God is, and Lord, of our Christianity, and Lord, how God is just so faithful and wonderful and has placed his presence down here on earth for us. And Lord, we thank you for it. And Lord, we pray that the Holy Spirit, and we know that the Holy Spirit is the illuminator, and we pray, Lord, that people's minds, that their eyes and ears will come open, that the Holy Spirit will minister to them, and that this will spur them on to have a greater desire to know who Jesus is. And in Jesus' name I pray, amen. Well, let's get started. I'm going to be reading, doing a lot of reading. So if you got pen and paper, and I'll probably read a little slow so you can take these notes down and you can do your own research. On Mount Sinai, the Ten Commandments were not the only thing that Moses received. Included also was a set of elaborate instructions for the building of the wilderness tabernacle, or we call it the Tabernacle of Moses. This structure would serve as a meeting place for God and his people, as well as demonstrate a plan of salvation through God's one and only Son. And remember I said the tabernacle represents Jesus. The tabernacle was a temple of worship that included specific protocols and procedures. Each requirement was for the express purpose of providing a possible means for God's people to dwell with him per God's request. Let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them. So, Exodus 25 and 28, and I said so because if you have a job like I do, I have policies and procedures, to follow to do my job. And so why would God not be any less? Exodus 25:28 says, from the fall in Genesis up until the tabernacle construction, the Bible records people occasionally walking and talking with God, but not dwelling with him. As we see, it is within the framework of this Old Testament sanctuary that God draws people closer to him through an intricate sacrificial system. This arrangement can speak volumes to us today about the specifics of such a great salvation and its incredible gift. Now, we're dealing with the tabernacle in the wilderness. 2,000 years later, in the book of Hebrews, it talks about Jesus' priestly duty. We don't have to do this sacrificial system, but the sacrificial system represents things that we do on this side of salvation. And as we get more and more into the tabernacle, you begin to understand the type and shadows in the tabernacle that we do today. Every detail that Christ accomplished to restore our relationship with God is in the particulars of the wilderness tabernacle. Again, the tabernacle of Moses. This article, and it is an article I'm reading from. This article will study the colors and fabric used to construct the boundary portions of the structure. Each color has much to say as it concerns the details of salvation. The colors of this study are those of the woven threads on a fine linen background. All colors taken together will illustrate a unified message that will be tied together. We probably won't get through the end of it, but we're going to start with the color blue, my favorite color. The very first color mentioned is blue. Blue in Bible typology is understood to be the color of heaven and eternal things. Well, look up in the sky. I know it has to do with the green grass and the atmosphere, but whatever it has to do with, sky is blue. It is the rarest color in nature and most often not the result of pigment. Most things in the natural world that appear blue comes from the refracting of light through structures that are designed to reflect this color. Take a prism and put it in the sunlight, and what do you get? Many colors, and you get the color blue. The natural physical world agrees that blue is out of this world. So scientists agree with that. The Bible makes this same connection in relationship to heaven and God's throne. Let's look at Exodus 24. Moses went up, also Aaron, Nadab, and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Egypt, of Israel. And they saw the God of Israel, and there was under his feet, as it were, a paved walk of sapphire stone. And it was like the very heavens in its clarity. Then the Lord says to Moses, come up to me on the mountain and be there, and I will give you and the law and commandments which I've written, that you may teach them. If you really want to know what God's throne looks like, read the last chapters in the book of Israel in Revelation, and then read Ezekiel, the first four chapters, and it talks about the throne room of God. But I'm going to take you through throne room of God. The literal translation, I will give you tablets of stone, should read, I will give you tablets of the stone. The, in quotation marks, implying a particular stone, not a random rock from the mount. Could it be the tablets were taken from the sapphire stone of God's throne in heaven? Could it be? Ezekiel, even twice, envisions the throne of God in connection with heaven and sapphire in his cryptic-like experience in God's presence. Quote, above the firmament over their head, heaven was like the likeness of a throne in appearance like a sapphire stone. That's Ezekiel chapter 1, verse 26. There in the firmament that was above the head, heaven, of the cherubim, there appeared something like a sapphire stone, having the appearance of the likeness of a throne. Ezekiel chapter 10, verse 1. The heavenly qualities of love, loyalty, and the faithfulness of God are connected with the color blue. As it concerns us, the color blue is to remind us to listen and obey God's divine command. And I'm quoting William Brown. When we gaze up at the stainless white clouds floating serenely in the air above us, may we ever hear the voice of God saying through them to us, be ye holy, for I am holy. And when we look beyond to the robe that covers them, the vast blue dome of the heaven, may we ever hear the voice of God through the blue saying unto us, remember all the commandments of the Lord and do them. When you look up in the sky, and particularly on a beautiful blue day when there's no clouds in the sky, remember what God is saying. Remember, God created that. Remember. And Paul, in his letter to the Colossians, exhorts us, if then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth, for you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Colossians 3, 1 through 6. So let's review. Blue represents the color of heaven. It's believed that Ezekiel saw cherubim and the throne of God. It's believed that that was blue. Believed that the throne, his path, his walkway was blue. The blue is a heavenly color. Think about, since the curtains in the tabernacle that separated the holy from the holy place and the holy place from the holy of holies, there was a blue dye in there. Let's talk about this blue dye, since we say it's really, it's not naturally found in nature. And I'm going to read you some information about the blue dye. The origin of the blue dye is significant. Blue dye was obtained from the yellow secretions found in the glands of a particular sea mollusk common to the Middle East. The secretions of these mollusks turn purple when exposed to the air. When exposed to sunlight during a particular phase of its color development, it then turns blue. The sun, a heavenly body, is necessary to process this specific color. It was a painstaking task to obtain and produce. According to David Jacoby of Hebrew University, Jerusalem, which is where I get a lot of my information from, 1,000 snails to make 1.4 grams of dye, making it very precious, rare, and expensive. It is said to be worth its weight in gold. The rare and precious dye connects us with the gold in the tabernacle, as it concerned the metals used in its construction. Gold was the heavenly metal, the gold and blue together, interestingly connects throughout the instructions of the tabernacle instruction. So gold represents God, and blue represents heaven. And we'll get, again, more into that. Let me just pause right here. If you are enjoying this information, we ask that you donate to Kingdom Daughters, Kingdom Builders. You can go to giveify.com. Go to the top and go to donors. Click on that and come down to the middle of the page and click to donate. It will go to Kingdom Builders, Kingdom Daughters. Kingdom Builders, a little history. Kingdom Builders, Kingdom Daughters was born out of an intercessory prayer group by Prophetess Teresa Phillips Dox. And the Lord has instructed Prophetess Teresa to make available to ministries that would like to go on Blog Talk Radio and give them airtime. Your donation will help to further this mission, this goal, to help her to develop, as we continue to develop, Kingdom Builders, Kingdom Daughters Institute. Thank you for your kind donation, and we pray that you will be blessed as we continue to do God's will. As we turn to the color purple, blue has always been my favorite color up until just recently, where I'm beginning to really like purple. Purple is a combination of red and blue. And I will give you my take on that in a few minutes. We're going to talk about the color purple. Since the color is a combination of both blue and scarlet or red. But let's first lay a foundation for each color so it all makes sense when taken together. In the ancient world, purple was the color of royalty, wealth, and power. Like the blue, it was difficult to obtain and therefore rare and costly. The rich man in Luke 19 in Jesus' parable was recorded to have been clothed in purple. This dye, like the blue, was also obtained from a sea mollusk. Experts believe it was probably a related species to the one that produced blue. The purple was said to be worth its weight in silver. So now we're saying blue is worth its weight in gold, and purple is worth its weight in silver. Historically, mythologically, literature affirms these symbolic connections of the ancient world as is recorded in ancient Greek writings. And this is Homer from the Iliad. There is a sea, and who shall dry it up, that breathes a gush of much purple, precious as silver, ever renewed for the dyeing of garments. Store of such stuff by the god, grace, king, is here for us to have. The palace does not know poverty. So it appears this palace had a lot of purple. The Bible also makes the connection with purple, power, and position in the book of Daniel. Interestingly, after Daniel reveals the hidden message of the handwriting on the wall for the king makes good on his lavish promise to Daniel for doing so. And this is Daniel 5:29. Then Belshazzar gave the command, and they clothed Daniel with purple, and put a chain of gold around his neck and made a proclamation concerning him that he should be the third ruler in the kingdom. So I digress. When we all get a little money and we want to buy some jewelry and we don't want a costume, we either buy silver, diamond, or gold. Flair for the exotic, and we buy emeralds and rubies and maybe even some pearls. But most people, I guess I can say most, well, maybe not most, but a lot of people have gold. Gold rings, gold earrings, with an S, gold necklaces, with an S, herringbone, rope. We like gold. I like gold. I like gold and diamonds together. I like silver and diamonds together. But and even in cultures in India and in China and far, far away cultures, when apparently they probably, and it's difficult to get food, you will notice they have gold. I've watched the documentaries on India. They're living under in a tent, but when the lady comes out, she has on beautiful clothes with diamond, with gold threads through her clothes, and she has an arm full of, you're right, gold bangles. The gold is a precious metal, and it's a very interesting metal, and we will talk about gold a little later on, but gold, very beautiful combination. And here's another king, not of this world, that was clothed in purple, but displayed a different type of wealth and power that could only be achieved by humility. I wonder who that is. Mark 15:17-20. And they clothed him with purple, and they twisted a crown of thorns, put it on his head, and began to salute him. Hail, King of the Jews! Then they struck him on the head with a reed and spat on him. And bowing the knee, they worshiped him. And when they had mocked him, they took the purple off him and put his own clothes on him and led him out to crucify him. Now we're going to talk about the power of purple. The visible light spectrum shows purple is the most potent and energetic color from a wavelength, frequency, and photo energy perspective. Of the visible light spectrum containing the highest frequency. Let's talk about scarlet, the color of man and blood. The symbolism of scarlet has to do with mankind and blood. The Hebrew for man is Adam. The Hebrew word for red is Adam. And the Hebrew word for blood is dam, D-A-M. Notice that man and red are the same, and both contain the name for blood. So, Adam. The Hebrew word for man is Adam, which contains red and man. So Adam was a red man, if I'm understanding this correctly. The Hebrew word for scarlet, as is used for this particular requested variety of red, is, can't pronounce the Hebrew. A tulah is a worm or maggot known as the crimson. The life cycle of this lowly creature uniquely illustrates man's salvation through the sacrifice of another, as described by Christian apologists Henry Morris. Female of a scarlet worm species was ready to give birth to her young. She would attach her body to the trunk of a tree, fixing herself so firmly and permanently that she would never leave again. The eggs deposited beneath her body were thus protected until the larvae were hatched and able to enter their own life cycle. One source noted that not only does the mother give her life to protect her babies with her own body, but she also fed them with it. As the mother died, the crimson flood stained her body and the surrounding wood. From the dead bodies of such female scarlet worms, the commercial scarlet dyes of antiquity were extracted. What a picture this gives of Christ, dying on a tree, shedding his precious blood that he might bring many sons unto glory. He died for us that we might live through him. Psalms 22, such a worm, it gives us this picture of Christ. My God, why have you forsaken me? And this is uttered from the cross. Why are you so far from helping me and from the words of my groaning? But I am a worm and no man, a reproach of men and despised by the people. Psalm 22. Let me give some nuggets. Things. Remember in Ecclesiastes, it says there's nothing new under the sun. The S-O-N, the S-U-N, nothing new under the sun. So Christ dying on the cross was foretold so many times. So I will read to you Psalms 22 from the New King James. Oh, it's quite a long psalm. Let's see if we can get through it. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from helping me and from the words of my groaning? Oh, my God, I cry in the daytime and you do not hear, and in the night season and am not silent. This is Jesus on the cross to so many thousands, let's just say to round it off, 2,000 years later. But you are holy, enthroned in the praises of Israel. Our fathers trusted in you, and they trusted, and you delivered them. They cried to you and were delivered. They trusted in you and were not ashamed. But I am a worm and no man, a reproach of men and despised by the people. All those who see me ridicule me. They shoot out the lip. They shake the head, saying, he trusted in the Lord. Let him rescue him. Let him deliver him, since he delights in him, mocking him. For you are he who took me out of the womb. Jesus was born through a woman. You made me trust while on my mother's breast. I was cast upon you from birth, from my mother's womb. You have been my God. Be not far from me. For trouble is near, for there is none to help. Many bulls have surrounded me. Strong bulls of Bashan have encircled me. They gape at me with their mouths like a raging and roaring lion. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It has melted within me. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue cleaves to my jaw. You have brought me to the dust of earth. What a picture of the crucifixion. For dogs have surrounded me, the congregation of the wicked has enclosed me. They pierce my hands and my feet. I can count all my bones. They look and stare at me. They divide my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. If you've ever seen The King of Kings, The Passion of Christ, this is what this depicts, what they have shown us on a cinematic screen. But you, O Lord, do not be far from me. O my strength, hasten to help me. Deliver me from the sword, my precious life from the power of the dog. Save me from the lion's mouth and from the horns of the wild oxen. You have answered me. I will declare your name to my brethren in the midst of the assembly. I will praise you. You who fear the Lord, praise him. All you descendants of Jacob, glorify him and fear him, all you offspring of Israel. For he has not despised nor abhorred the affliction of the afflicted, nor has he hidden his face from him, but when he cried to him, he heard. My praise shall be of you in the great assembly. I will pay my vows before those who fear him. The poor shall eat and be satisfied. Those who seek him will praise the Lord. Let your heart live forever. All the ends of the world shall remember and turn to the Lord, and all the families of the nations shall worship before you. All the ends of the world shall remember and turn to the Lord, and all the families of the nations shall worship before you. For the kingdom is the Lord's, he rules over the nation. Futuristic, this will happen. All the prosperity of the earth shall eat and worship. All those who go down to the dust shall bow before him, even he who cannot keep himself alive. A posterity shall serve him. It will be recounted of the Lord to the next generation. They will come and declare his righteousness to a people who will be born, that he has done this. The salvation, the death, burial, and resurrection is depicted in here in terms of the fact that all nations will worship him, all families of the nations shall worship him, all people shall worship him, every knee shall bow before him. That's not happening now, but it will happen. It will happen during the millennial reign, and it will happen after everything has been put back as it was before. This is the future. But this is, here's the nugget I want to give you. Old Testament, as I often tell the Bible class that I'm a part of, the Old Testament is the New Testament concealed. I don't think David really knew what he was saying when he did this. Maybe he did, but the other prophets didn't know. The New Testament is the Old Testament revealed. So what you see in the New Testament has been concealed in the Old Testament. It wasn't until Jesus came, was born, died, and rose again that the New Testament could come about. And let me give you one more. So when you read the Old Testament, ask the Lord to give you the New Testament equivalent, if I may put it like that. Let me give you Isaiah. If you've ever heard Handel's Messiah, hallelujah, 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 if you've ever heard that, listen to the words. That's the Isaiah put to music by Handel regarding the birth of Jesus. I'm going to read Isaiah 53. Now, this is only 12 verses, so please bear with me. Who has believed our report? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of dry ground. He has no form or comeliness, and when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we did not esteem him. This is talking about Jesus' life. Surely he has borne our grief and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. So as he was hanging on the cross, the people who saw him just thought, oh, well, he's just hanging there. But he was, but spiritually, he was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. Jesus suffered 39 stripes. Medical research says there are 39 strands of diseases. Cancer is a strand, and autoimmune systems are a strand, and consider going on and on and on. 39 stripes that represent 39 diseases in the earth. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Why is it when Jesus said, my God, why have you forsaken me? Jesus couldn't. Jesus, at that point, sin placed on him, and God could not. God cannot. God is so pure and so perfect. He cannot tolerate sin. He cannot. He cannot. So when God looks at us, he looks at us through the blood of Jesus. So we still got issues. We speak in tongues and lay hands on folk, and people get healed and raised from the dead and come back to life and all of that. But we still got issues. Because we're in this world, we live in a body that's broken. We have our emotions and our mental facilities, they're broken. Fear man as well. But we have to deal with certain issues of life. And if you go back and if you go into the New Testament and read Colossians and Ephesians, it tells you put on the whole armor, add virtue to yourself, and I'm going down a rabbit hole. Let me not go down there. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth, which means he did not complain. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shears is silent, so he opened not his mouth. If you watch sheep being sheared, they just, and I've watched it, they just pick them up and shear them. Taken from prison and from judgment, who will declare his generation? And he went from judgment hall to judgment hall. For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgressions of my people he was stricken. And they made his grave with the wicked, but with the rich at his death, because he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to grief. When you make his soul an offering for sin, for he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the labor of his soul and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant shall justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. So the Lord has bared iniquities, and it says, for many. Therefore, I will divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong. Because he poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors. Yeah, Jesus was numbered with the transgressors. And he bore the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. So when God looks at us, he sees us through the blood of Jesus. But why is this a very bloody religion very bloody sacrifices because the blood atones. God's law requires blood. But because Jesus died on the cross, we don't have to shed blood. We don't have to do sacrifices for animals. He does not require sacrifices of blood and goats. He requires the sacrifice of our praise. So you praise him when you want to, and you praise him when you don't want to. You praise him when you're sick, and you praise him when you're well. You thank him when things go right, and you thank him when things go bad. That's the sacrifice he requires from us as Christians. And let me just go further. The Alpha Omega Institute at Discovery Creation, and this is another place where you can get information from, Alpha Omega Institute at Discovery Creation, adds the following note to the process. After 3 days, the dead mother crimson worm's body loses its crimson color and turns into a white wax which falls to the ground like a smoke. Then I just read that his heart had waxed within him. But what did Jesus say? Mean by saying, I am a worm. There are a lot of ideas what Jesus might have meant, but nobody really knows for sure. However, it is very interesting that just like the crimson worm, Jesus sacrificed and gave up his life on a tree so that his children might be washed with his crimson blood and their sins cleansed white as snow. Let me read that again. It is very interesting that just like the crimson worm, Jesus sacrificed or gave up his life on a tree. And they say a tree because the cross is made out of wood so that his children might be washed in blood and their sins cleansed white as snow. He died for us that we might live through him. So we're washed in the blood of the Lamb and our sins are forgiven and we come out white as snow. Our spirit comes out white as snow. Come now and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18. In the book of Joshua, a harlot named Rahab seeks salvation from coming destruction of her city, Jericho. And that's when they walked around seven times, not saying a word. And on the seventh day, they walked around seven times on that one day. Shouted and the walls came down. She was rescued. She stakes no righteous claim based on her deservedness, but only faith in a promise secured and evidenced by a scarlet thread she hung from her window. Behold, when we come into the land, thou shalt bind this line of scarlet thread in the window which thou dost let us down by, and thou shalt bring thy father and thy mother and thy brother and all thy father's household unto thee. And it shall be that whosoever shall go out of the doors of thy house into the street, his blood shall be upon his head, and we will be guiltless. And whosoever shall be with thee in the house, his blood shall be on our head, if any hand be upon him. And Joshua saved Rahab the harlot alive with her father's household and all that she had, and she dwells in Israel even unto this day, which means her remnant, her offspring, her generation. Like Rahab, the hollow tree of all humanity has no righteous claim to salvation, but only through faith in the shed blood of Christ, the scarlet thread, are we saved from destruction. And in the next Next week, we will tie all three colors of the thread together and discover the entire message as a whole. A threefold cord is not quickly broken. Let me talk a little bit about the priesthood of Jesus. If you want to tie the priesthood of Jesus into the Levitical priesthood in the tabernacle, then read the book of Hebrews. It's pretty straightforward. We are also priests and kings before God. But that might be a little bit premature for me to talk about that. However, this word is so full of just, chock full of just goodness. And as you continue to study the word and get involved with ministers who know the word, who can give you the word, you will begin to see that is more than just 66 books that sits on your table and collects dust. For those who want to be more like Christ, you must get into the word. You must get into a Bible study. You must get into a place that's teaching you the word of God. And never let anyone tell you that the word of God contradicts itself. Understand that the Old Testament is to show us and guide us. It's a story of the Hebrew children. It's a story. Every story in here relates and can relate to the New Testament in a way, a form, and a fashion. Understand, you must understand the Old Testament to really get an appreciation for the New Testament. Understand, the church age did not start until the book of Acts. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are the gospels written to three different kind of people: the Romans, the Jews, and the Greeks. That's why you find certain passages, certain books are larger than others, like the book of Luke. We will talk about these four gospels, how they are reflected in the tabernacle in the wilderness. The front four pillars, as you walk into the tabernacle, as you walk into the grounds, there's a big open area, and then as you walk and approach the holy place, there are four pillars. Those four pillars represent the four gospels. That's what holds up the tabernacle. The four colors, purple, blue, red, and white linen, represent the four gospels. Color represents the gospel. And the gospel is to the Jew, the Greek, the Romans. And then the book of John is to everyone, and it talks about the deity of Jesus. I would like to think that, let me continue on. I hope that you're getting something out of this. Eventually, we will go to the teaching where you can see these colors, where you can see the tabernacle. In fact, if you go to Temple Institute, T-E-M-P-L-E, Institute, I-N-S-T-I-T-U-T-E, Google it, there's a picture of the Tabernacle of Moses. There are so many interesting details in this tabernacle that deals with our salvation. Saying that we today can go into the Holy of Holies. The Israelites back in the day, until the temple was destroyed in 70 AD, there was the Tabernacle of Moses, there was Solomon's temple, and then there was Herod's temple, as they say, because he rebuilt it. And then Herod's temple was the one that was destroyed in 70 AD. Up to that point, no one could go into the Holy of Holies except for the high priest. Today, we can go into the Holy of Holies. Physically, we can go into replicas of there's a replica 75% of scale that we have been in, that I've had the privilege of going to see, that the Jews, the Israelites, and I'll explain the Jews in a minute, the Israelites never saw. I can see it. I can go in it. I can look. And now, this side of the gospel, I can go into the Holy of Holies wherever I choose to be. If I'm in my car, if I'm in my house, if I'm in my room, if I'm out at work, I can just calm myself down and pray, and I can go and meet God in the Holy of Holies. I can go to him. I can pray to him through the name of Jesus, that awesome name, that person who thought it was not robbery to be equal with God, but divested himself of all of his wealth, choose to be born through a female, come down and then die for us, that our sins will be forgiven. He's not asked, if he asks us to do something grand, he's not asking us to do anything grand, but to just believe that he was born, that he died, and he rose again. And ask him into our hearts. We can do that. I'm offering to people on the line, someone on the line, such a great salvation. This is your ticket for eternal life. Those of us who have accepted Jesus, we have eternal life right now. And if we were to die, we would go to be with him. Where would you go if you died today? Do you have issues with God? I say to you, come to him, accept him in your heart, and then get in a good Bible study that can help you deal with those issues. Oh, God, why did you let my mother die? God, why did you let my kid die? God, why did I lose my job? Oh, on and on and on. Good things happen to good people, and good things happen to bad people. Good things happen to Christians, and good things happen to non-Christians. But the bottom line is, what do you do with Jesus? Because when you die, after all of this, well, when you spend eternity, and eternity is forever. Our minds can't fathom forever. But forever is forever is forever. And if you accept him in your heart today, no, your life won't be a bed of roses, but I tell you and guarantee you what, you got someone to walk with you through your thorn bush. The one that can calm that war that's inside of you. I offer you Christ today. I offer you Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach. That's the Hebrew name. Yeshua is Jesus. HaMashiach, the Christ. I offer you Yeshua today. And if you decided that this is what you want to do, then follow me in your heart as I pray for you, the Heavenly Father. Those on the line who have decided that this is their day, this is their day to accept you, to get their questions answered, because your questions can be answered. I'm a living witness. I had a ton of questions, and now as I follow on with Christ, my questions are being answered. Yes, your questions can be answered. Offer him to you. The Heavenly Father, those who have accepted you in their heart, I pray, Lord, that you be with them, that you lead them and guide them to an excellent Bible study, that you lead and guide them and be with them, that you begin to answer their questions. And, Lord, that you heal them if they need it, give them a job if they need it. Lord, just bless them and be with them as they have accepted you as their Lord and Savior. And we pray in Jesus' name, amen. as we take our leave, I'd like to again ask you to consider giving to Kingdom Daughters, Kingdom Builders. Giveify.com. Go to the top of the screen where it says donors. Come down to the, click on that, come down to the middle of the screen to donate, and your funds will come to Kingdom Builders, Kingdom Daughters. We appreciate you allowing us to come into your home today to at least give you a little understanding of the tabernacle in the wilderness. And as we get deeper and deeper, we will begin to tie these artifacts and begin to tie these colors and these pillars into the New Testament, so you'll get a wonderful understanding of the death, burial, and resurrection and the atonement of Christ, what he did for us that we could not do for ourselves. We thank you, and we just ask God to be with you. I would like to do, if I can find it, an Aaronic blessing, which I'm not sure that I have, which I'm not sure that I have available. One thing I wanted to explain, Hebrews and Israelis in the Old Testament represent the 12 tribes plus the Levitical priesthood. Later on, during the Old Testament, they split into two kingdoms, the southern kingdom and the northern. The southern kingdom and the northern kingdom. When I say Jews, I'm referring to the southern kingdom, which is the tribe of Judah, tribe of Benjamin, and the Levites. The northern kingdom represents the 10 remaining tribes. So just keep that in mind. We thank you once again for coming. And we ask that you come in 2 more weeks, and we will continue the tabernacle study. May God bless you and keep you. May he make his face to shine upon you.
Like the sound of the symphony.